Man, we've been grinding, and being out here feels a little different, but it is a Scotty's Vodka Rebel Friday.
Oh, yeah.
And I hope folks are indulging responsibly.
Yeah. Take your time.
So we're doing Ask B. Mitch Anything here right now, 800-636-1067, because we have Kevin Harlan joining us at 1 o'clock. Great get, Landy. Excited to talk. I honestly am just excited to hear Kevin Harlan talk. I like that dude. So to kick things off for Ask B. Mitch Anything, Alonzo is on line one. Zo, you're up, bud.
So, to kick things off for Ask...
Zo, you got to turn your radio down, buddy.
Line one. Zo, you're up, bud.
All right. Hello? Let's put Alonzo on hold. We're going to try this again. Deshaun is in D.C. Is this your son-in-law?
No.
Deshaun, what's up?
How you doing?
Yeah, what's up, man?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, Mitch, do you think, like, Terry McLaurin is just not creating space, or is we just looking just to hit him with the quick pass?
I don't think it's that he's not creating space. I just think that teams are trying to make sure they take him out, and Jaden, being a young guy, is not going to sit there and wait all day for him. He's going to make a decision, go somewhere, or he's going to just try and run the football. So I believe Terry will make the space and start getting open. But sometimes you got to just – when it's your best receiver – do what other teams do. Force it to your guy.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, a lot of the ways you force the football to a star receiver, like, they're doing that. They're getting the ball at the line of scrimmage just to get the ball in his hands. It's just not really accomplishing much. And the YPC is just so incredibly low. Yep. You'd think that will change. But I don't know, man. The Terry thing is a little bizarre. Frankly, to me, I think it will improve. I definitely want to play this Jaden audio on Terry, but we'll keep the phone lines going right now. Yeah. Dan is in Fairfax. Dan, what's your question for B?
B. Mitch and Finley.
What up, Dan?
What's up, dude?
You good?
My question is, during the body bag game, I guess there was like 7 players injured. I was just wondering what was going through your mind, B. Mitch. I mean, I know you always say if you're worried about getting injured, you're probably going to get injured. So I was just wondering what's going through your head.
I wouldn't worry about being hurt or getting hurt or nothing like that. I just, listen, my whole thing was when I saw people going down, since we had put a game plan in for me that week, I started to focus on what if the chance were to come, will I be ready? And when they say you're in, at first I thought Coach Gill was in at running back, and he said no quarterback. I was like, okay, well, you've been practicing, it's time to go with it. And went to the game, and I basically told the guys on the first play, I said, listen, in college when I got my first play, I always ran it whether it was a pass or not, so I'm running this first one. And we had a false start, and I was running my tail off, and then we went on down and scored. But, yeah, I never thought about getting hurt or anything like that.
Yeah, you know, thanks for the call, Dan, and thanks for the enthusiasm. It's interesting how people view quarterbacks, and I get that he runs, and hell, he had to come out of the game last week, got the wind knocked out of him, got his helmet knocked off week one. Like, I understand all of it. But don't you find it interesting, the conversation specific to Jaden, but around quarterbacks is like, there's this constant fear of them getting hurt, whereas no other player on the field that exists.
They don't care about him. But it's weird, and I think for me, the fact that I play quarterback, and yes, I'll be in college, but I was as important for my college team as any quarterback in the pros is for their college team. I mean, for their pro team. You think I cared about getting hurt? They told me to stay on the ground or run out of bounds. I lowered the boom on people. I dove across people. I played like that for 4 years straight. Didn't get hurt. And I played 14 years in the NFL crazy. Didn't get hurt. So eventually you got to let people be who they are, because when they start trying to become somebody else is when they get hurt. Because instead of going full speed through something, you slow down, you take it easy, and that's when somebody catch you. They catch you slipping.
Let's go to line 9, Jim in Navy Yard.
What up, Jim?
How's it going? I have a question for B-Mitch.
Sure, go ahead.
B-Mitch, during your NFL career, who was the toughest opponent you faced and why?
Toughest opponent I faced and why? I have to go with one of two people, and I'll probably just say both of them, Reggie White and Lawrence Taylor, because you watch those guys, and no one person got the best of them. and we doubled and did everything to them, but they were making plays over and over again. So I would have to go with, I would say those guys, 1A and 1B.
Who's better between those two? LT by a hair?
I think LT, because he was able to just disrupt the game from the outside. He'll slide inside, beat your center. He'll drop back in your passing game sometime. Reggie was there. He was hip-tossing. He was hip-tossing linemen. But I think overall, with the flair and the pizzazz of the way he did it, I have to go with LT.
Yeah, I think it's LT. Because he was more versatile. Like, he could be a cover linebacker, whereas you're not dropping
LT
Reggie.
Could do whatever the hell he wanted to do. Reggie on the football field, LT could do whatever he wanted to do.
Do you think – who's the best defensive player ever?
One of those two?
Yeah.
Still, I'll go with one of those two right there.
Not one of these backers, not Ray
not better than
Buckets
those two guys.
Or something like
that. Let me tell you, bro, those two guys right there, they didn't just line up in the middle and expect the people in front of them to take care of the business. They made the business happen. I saw LT line up on everybody across the line and did whatever he wanted to do with it.
I mean, one of the things
– he wasn't huge.
Right. One of the things that's most impressive about Joe Gibbs is to win three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks and just build these elite teams.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about Parcells and the Giants, like, those weren't explosive teams. You had Phil Simms throwing to Mark Bavaro. You know what I mean?
They were physical.
LT was kind of the answer there. Let's go to line one. Dan is in Ohio with a question for
you. What up, Dan?
What's up, fellas? Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it. Enjoy the show today. Right. Looking forward to Monday night. I'll be there, buddy. Supporting the Skins, so do our best. But my question was, I was watching the game over again tonight and about this defensive front. Bemis, do you think that we'll see some more or some different alignments throughout the game? In the fourth quarter, I saw him come out in like a 3-4 with Payne playing on the end and John playing in the middle. Was wondering if you think that they should go with that route, try some deep, different fronts, or if they should stick with what they've been doing.
Well, the thing I like about the way that Joe talks and also Dan, they talk about they're going to try to use what works. And I think if something hasn't been working consistently, they're going to try to make some adjustments because they're trying to find the best way of attacking defenses and the best personnel grouping to do the attacking. I mean, attacking the offenses. So I expect them to keep trying stuff till they find out what they do best.
Thanks for the call,
Appreciate
Dan.
It, man.
I did want to ask you this. So the Bengals corner takes the shot at Cliff, right? Uh-huh. Calls it a college offense. We're only 2 weeks in. What do you think about the offense? It is a lot at the line of scrimmage.
It's a lot at the line of scrimmage, but, you know, the thing about me, I don't worry about how you do it at the line of scrimmage because I see Kansas City threw a lot of stuff at the line of scrimmage, you know, but then they get down the field later on. I just think that you have to keep working on your stuff to implement it as you wish. I also am understanding that they don't have the full stuff going right now. They are trying to bring Jaden along. We can sit up here. We're going to have people going to be upset as hell throughout the year, but they're trying to build this thing, and they are not trying to rush it. They're trying to build it and gradually get him and let him understand everything. And it's not going to move at the pace that people want it to move. So that's why I don't get too upset with things that are going on right now because I understand what they're trying to do. And they basically told us this.
I think it was interesting to me the other day when DQ was asked about Terry McLaurin. I'm tempted to pull the quote up. He said repeatedly, we got to move him around. We got to put him into kind of some different looks. And he talked about Neighbors, how Neighbors they would throw into these bunch formations where it's a lot harder to kind of to get a bump on them, to get press on them, whatever that is. It was interesting to hear the head coach say those things mm-hmm. when the offense doesn't really reflect those things.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's only 2 weeks. Maybe they've realized now that has to come.
Mm-hmm.
But that stood out to me. For Quinn to talk about it when he's not the offensive play caller.
He's the head coach, though. He gets to think about everything.
For sure. But, like, what he was describing hasn't really been consistent with what we've been seeing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because I think we're all at different stages when you look at those different teams. This team, no matter what we think, is trying to build something for the long haul, which means they may just work on foundation right now and next year. up there in New York, they're not trying to build a foundation. They're trying to keep jobs. And they're trying to make sure that everything don't go to hell in a handbasket. You know what I mean? I think that's the ultimate thing, where you are in different stages of this thing, where that you hire Adam to roll in here and build a team, a solid foundation. And I think they're focusing on that more than they just like, hey, let's just try to do this stuff real quick. Because none of us want them to have a good year this year and then be stinking for some years to come. We want it to be gradually going to where now we're in that constant rotation like Steelers, Ravens, Chiefs, those things. And I'm not saying to be in the Super Bowl all the time, but have opportunity to get to one. Because if you're not in the playoffs, you can't get to one, right?
Mm-hmm. Here's a quote. This is DQ. Asked about getting the ball to Terry. I would say try to move Terry around into different spots, which you know is important because he has that playmaking ability. You want to find the spots to go. As we're going just into our second full lap together, there'll be more opportunities for him, and we need them to be.
Because I'm sure DQ and Cliff get into conversations, and DQ will tell him what will affect his defense and vice versa. You know what I'm saying? But also, you don't want to be a coach telling your offensive coordinator how to run something.
You don't want to micromanage.
Yeah, and if you start micromanaging, then you got problems.
The last micromanagement was Ron to Scott Turner. It didn't go great. I can't imagine Ron tried to micromanage Eric Bieniemy. That would have been a volatile situation.
I think it was a volatile situation.
I think a lot of
the comments that were made were an effort to micromanage, like try to put people in their place.
Kevin Harlan at 1:00. Nobody go anywhere.